There are many ways people listen to Vision, including DAB Plus digital radio.
If you're in Greater Sydney, Melbourne or Brisbane and have a digital radio receiver in your car or home, you'll find Vision Christian Radio on the station list. If you're visiting one of these cities and hiring a car, there's a good chance it will have a DAB receiver and you'll be able to enjoy Vision with exceptional sound quality while you drive around. If you don't already own a DAB receiver, you'll find many models, including clock radios, at electronic retailers for under $100. To find out more about Vision on digital radio and whether you're within the broadcast footprint, see vision.org.au/DAB.
However and wherever you listen to Vision, you can be sure that the announcers, programs and music will help you look to God daily.
This podcast is made available by Vision Christian Media,
thanks to the generosity of our supporters.
Your donation today means great podcasts like this remain available to help people look to God daily.
Please make your donation to Visionathon today at vision.org.au.
Some reach out boldly for God at great personal sacrifice. Does the Lord notice? Today, Pastor Greg Laurie comments on that.
There are times in our lives we did something for someone else and we weren't recognized. But the Bible says, your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Listen, you will be rewarded for every act of kindness and every word of testimony you've given for the Lord over your life. God does not forget.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Some people do many great things, but talk very little about them. And other people do fewer great things, but talk a lot about them. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie presents a contrast between Mordecai and another man named Haman. They both appear in the story of Esther. One is a good man and gets little recognition, but the other an evil man who's fishing for great recognition. But today, as the story continues, the winds of change blow and these men get their just desserts.
My wife came home from the market a while back and she asked me to unload the car. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those guys that wants to get as many bags on my arms as humanly possible. I don't want to make multiple trips. So I've got all these bags, you know, in my arms and I'm carrying them in many bags and many groceries in these bags, bread and canned goods and some vegetables and some eggs. And I dropped one bag. What bag did I drop? Of course. Why? Why of all those bags did I drop the bag of eggs? Because there is a law of the universe. It's called Murphy's Law. Heard of it? Murphy's Law is if anything can go wrong, it will. And usually at the most inopportune moment. Well, we sort of joke, that's not a real law. But there are real laws that govern our universe. There's a law of gravity, which basically was discovered by Newton, that says things tend to go downward, or a simpler way to put it, what goes up must come down. There's a law of thermodynamics that tells us all things are breaking down, or another way to put it, you will have aged a lot more before the end of this service. And finally, there's a law of sowing and reaping, and that one is in the Bible. Galatians 6, 7 to 8. And just as surely as there is a law of gravity and a law of thermodynamics, you better bet there's a law of sowing and reaping. Here's what the Bible says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows of the flesh, he'll reap corruption. But if he sows of the Spirit, he'll reap life everlasting. Now, we tend to think of the law of sowing and reaping in a negative sense. Oh, man, if you do that, watch out. You'll reap what you sow, and that's true. But the law of sowing and reaping is both positive and negative. Again, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption or deadness. That's negative. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Now, we see that played out in the story before us. Haman, the villain in our story, reaped what he sowed, and he reaped corruption. But then Esther and her cousin Mordecai reap life everlasting. Let's see how it played out. Let's sort of pick up where we last left off. And by the way, if you haven't been a part of this Esther series, here's sort of a flyover of what we've seen so far. King Xerxes is ruling Persia. He decides to throw a giant feast, so he invites all of his lords and leaders and government officials into town. And so the king is sort of showing all of his cool stuff. Guys tend to do that, don't they? They want to show you all their cool stuff. And so he's bringing out all the things he owns and his beautiful palace and all the goblets and things that the wine is served in. But now he's going to bring out his crown jewel, the beautiful Queen Vashti. So he gives the order, bring Queen Vashti in and tell her to come in wearing her crown. I want her to parade right through here, and I want all those guys to see what an awesome wife I have. Well, Vashti wanted no part of it. Now, we don't know exactly why. Some commentators think that when the text says, bring her in wearing her crown, that King Xerxes meant only her crown. Obviously, she wouldn't like that idea. But even if that wasn't it, the idea was he was sort of objectifying his wife, treating her more like a possession than the wife she was. So she flat out refuses, and it's a scandal in the kingdom. The king's aides say, you cannot let Vashti act that way, because if she gets away with this, none of our wives will ever do what we tell them to do again. You got to get rid of her. So Vashti is out. And now they effectively have a beauty contest, the Miss Persia beauty contest, if you will, and the winner will become the next queen of the kingdom. So all of these girls apply, and one girl kind of makes her way to the top. She was a young girl, an orphan. Her parents had died. She had been raised by her cousin Mordecai. He was about 15 years older than her. Her name was Hadassah. We know her better as Esther, and she had extraordinary beauty. The king laid his eyes on her, and he chose her, and she became the queen of the kingdom. If this was a fairy tale, it would have ended right there with the words, and they lived happily ever after. But this is not a fairy tale. This is a Bible story, and it's a piece of history as well. Enter the villain of the story, Haman. Haman was elevated to be the second most powerful man in the kingdom. He's the prime minister. He comes walking by and the order is given. Everyone bows. When Haman comes by, Mordecai won't bow. And that just ticked Haman off. And he wanted to kill Mordecai. And then he decided he was going to kill the people of Mordecai. So he goes to the king and gets the king to agree to sign a decree that all the Jewish people across the entire kingdom of Persia will be put to death. And they posted these signs, and 1 year, you will all die. It's very similar to what happened later in Germany. Remember when the Nazi Party came into power and the way they treated the Jewish people? They would go to their shops and stores and they would have to put a Star of David there, identifying themselves as Jews. And then they began to destroy the stores and the property of the Jews. And then the Jews were wearing these little yellow armbands to identify themselves. And soon the Nazis were shipping the Jewish people off to concentration camps like Treblinka and Auschwitz and others. So it's a similar thing. I'm going to have you all wiped off the face of the earth. Well, Mordecai found out about this, and there's only one person who can help. It's Esther, who's a Jew. And she's there in the palace. Maybe she can influence the king. So he stands outside the palace dressed in sackcloth and ashes, mourning this horrible thing. Esther didn't even know about it. And Esther heard about her cousin out there, not dressed very well. She said, here, send him some new clothes. Talk about missing the point. Girl, I'm trying to communicate something to you. Your people are in trouble, and you're living in the lap of luxury up there in the palace. And you don't even know what's going on. And then Mordecai says to Esther in Esther 4, and this is a signature passage from the book, don't think for a moment you will escape there in the palace. Because if the other Jews are killed and you keep quiet, deliverance will arise from the Jews from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. But who knows that God has not placed you where you are for such a time as this? Now, interestingly, Esther had not revealed to the king she was a Jew up to this point, because Mordecai told her not to. Now he's saying it's time to play your hand. It's time to declare yourself a Jew. It's time to appeal for your people. And so Esther says to Mordecai, okay, I'm going to go to the king. And by the way, if you go to the king when you're not summoned, you might be put to death, but I will go to the king. I will put it all on the line. And she says there in Esther chapter 4, I want you to be fasting for me, and I want you to be praying for me, and I will die if I have to die. If I must die, I will die. So she says, be in prayer for me. Effectively, she says fasting, but it's really another way of saying, be praying for me. So now Esther is showing her true colors. I mean, without question, she was extraordinarily beautiful, drop dead gorgeous, beautiful. But she had inner qualities to match. And that character was about to be revealed. It's been said, character is not made in crisis, it's only exhibited.
Thanks for joining us for A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie, Senior Pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California, USA. Today, we're digging into a critical point in the story of Esther, Mordecai, and Haman. Pastor Greg is presenting his message called, You Reap What You Sow. Let's get back into it.
Now, the true character of Esther is going to shine, but she's waiting for the right time and the right place with the right words to appeal to the king. So our story begins in Esther chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read together. 3 days later, Esther put on her royal robes and entered the inner court of the palace just across from the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne facing the entrance, and when he saw Queen Esther standing there in the inner court, he welcomed her, holding out the gold scepter to her. So Esther approached and touched its tip. Then the king asked her, "What do you want, Queen Esther? What is your request? I'll give it to you up to half of the kingdom." She said, "Well, if it pleases your majesty, let the king and Haman come today to a banquet I prepared for the king." So the king turned to his attendants and said, "Tell Haman to come quickly to a banquet as Esther has requested." So the king and Haman went to Esther's banquet, and they're drinking wine. And the king said to Esther, "Tell me what you really want. What is your request? I'll give it to you, even up to half of my kingdom." Esther replied, "This is my request and deepest wish. If your majesty is pleased with me and wants to grant my request, come back with Haman tomorrow." We'll stop there. Now, this is amazing. Seems like she would have just closed the deal right there. You know, outed Haman and his plot, revealed that she was a Jewish girl, and this was an attack against her and her people, but she's waiting. She's waiting for the right time. Do you know timing is everything? Because a lot of times we're impatient. Are you an impatient person? I can be. The other day, we had our grandkids, and they were going to school, and they had eaten something, but my granddaughter Allie was still hungry, and my wife Kathy said, "Can you make Allie some eggs?" I said, "Sure." I kind of pride myself on my scrambled eggs. And so Kathy sets the heat really low. She says, "That's the key to cooking scrambled eggs. So they're fluffy." Well, the heat was low, and I poured the eggs in the little pan, and nothing's happening. And the kids got to go to school, so I crank up the heat, and you know, and now they're finally forming, and I put them on a plate, and I realize they're a little on the rubbery side. And Allie took one bite. She said, "I'm not hungry anymore." So that was her nice way of saying, "Papa, your eggs are horrible." But see, I didn't do it right. I was too impatient. And we can do that in life. Well, I don't want to wait for this person to believe. I'm going to pressure them to believe. I don't want to wait for this to happen. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to take things into my own hands. But we need to understand there's a time for every event under heaven, the Bible says. A time to be silent and a time to speak. And you know, we all may have a king in our life. And by that I mean there's some person like the king that maybe intimidates us. They might be an authority over us. It might be a boss. It might be a professor. It might be that person that seems to have it so together, so above you, so tough, you think they would never listen to the gospel. Listen to this. No one is beyond the reach of God. So now the moment has come Esther can approach the king. It says, verse 3, the king says, "What do you want, Queen Esther? What's your request? I'll give it to you up to half of my kingdom." That's a good day when the king offers that, by the way. So she's been waiting on the Lord. And she says, "Well, if it please your majesty," Esther 5:3, "let the king and Haman come to a banquet today that I prepared for the king." Now, Haman is so excited. He's thinking, everything's going my way. All of my scheming, my plotting, my undermining is finally coming to fruition. The queen has invited me to a banquet with the king. Verse 9, what a happy man Haman was as he left the banquet. He thinks, everything's going my way. I'm going to wipe out the Jews. I'm powerful. Oh, it's awesome. So now going back a little bit in the book, there was a threat against the king. Two of his bodyguards wanted to kill him. This became known to Mordecai, who was an aide to the king. He told the king, the plot was foiled, the bodyguards were executed, but Mordecai was never rewarded for this wonderful act of sacrifice. So one night, the king can't get to sleep. We've all had nights like that. And so you try counting sheep or drinking warm milk, and sometimes reading will help put you to sleep. So the king had something read to him. When you're the king, you have people read to you. And he says, "Pull out that book, the history of the Persian Empire. Just start reading." So they're reading to him, and they come across the story of the averted plot against his life. He goes, wait, go back over that again. What happened? Yeah, I remember that. Who was the guy who helped me there? That was Mordecai. Was he ever rewarded for that? No, king, he wasn't. Really? Well, we need to right that wrong. And this just reminds us that there are times in our lives we did something for someone else and we weren't recognized. But the Bible says, "Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly." Listen, you will be rewarded for every act of kindness and every word of testimony you've given for the Lord over your life. Hebrews 6:10 says, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help him." So listen, God does not forget. And so now Mordecai is going to be rewarded. And here's what the story, just, I love it. It's classic. So the next morning, king wakes up. "All right, listen, we got to do something about this guy that saved my life. Who's out in the court right now?" "Haman is." "Okay, bring him in here." So Haman is brought into the presence of the king. King says, "Oh, Haman, I have a question for you. What should I do if I really want to honor someone? If I really want to show them how much I appreciate what they've done, what is the best thing that I could do?" Haman was so narcissistic and wicked, he thought the king was talking about him. And he says, "Well, if I were in your shoes, what I would do is I would put him on your royal steed, I would put royal robes on him, and I would have him led through the kingdom. This is what happens to the man that the king wants to honor." The king says, "Excellent idea. Do that for Mordecai." Kai. What? Not for me. No. Mordecai, oh, he can't, this is like he's dying inside. So Mordecai, get on the horse, put on the robes, let's go. He's walking to the kingdom. "This is what will be done for the man that the king wants to honor." Mordecai is sitting up there, "All right, very nice." And Haman is burning up inside. Talk about poetic justice.
Great insight from Pastor Greg. Mordecai is reaping the fruits of his good character, but we're only part of the way through this fascinating story. Next time, the story of Esther, Haman, and Mordecai continues, and we'll finally see how Haman reaps what he has sown. That's next time here on A New Beginning. Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie was called "You Reap What You Sow," If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app where you can access it as a podcast. Or if you'd prefer to have a copy on CD, contact Vision Christian Store on 1-800-005011 or online at visionstore.org.au. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.